Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test. To you, it is Tuesday, and it is time once again to get powered up and energized with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, so I always look forward to spending this time with you every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, where we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So today is no exception. I am looking forward to this time with you as we continue to work on those important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So it is great to be back with you as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of those important life goals. So welcome to the program. Welcome to the program, whether you're joining us from Dominica, North America, Europe, Canada, wherever you're joining us from, we want to say a very special welcome to you. I hope that the weather in your area is beautiful and you're having a great start to your week. Now, speaking of beautiful weather, we had a chance to go to Florida. We always like to start the program on a note of gratitude. So we had a chance to spend a lovely family week in Florida. Sunday was my birthday. I am grateful for another year of life. So we took the opportunity the week before to head down to Florida, since Sophia has a break, always has a winter break the week before my birthday. So it's always a great time to travel, a great time to spend some quality time with the family. So I am grateful for life. I'm grateful for health. I'm grateful for my friends and family. I'm grateful for you, the audience, who keep it locked here on TDN Radio for Untapped Potential. And we always have to remember to celebrate life, because we see so many young people succumbing to very quick illnesses. So we always have to remember to be grateful for life, and especially so when we see yet another young man has suddenly perished, and that is Mr. Peter Morgan. So if you're familiar with the group Morgan Heritage, I believe he's the lead singer of Morgan Heritage. So he unfortunately passed away at only 46, so significantly younger than me. So we are, you know, sending condolences to his friends and family. And we're just very concerned with all these young people who seem to be dying prematurely. So we're calling for everyone, you know, to take care of themselves, take care of yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually, because those, I'm not saying that he died from not taking care of himself, but I'm just saying that in order to remain strong and to improve our physical health, the onus is on us to make sure that we're doing what it takes to take care of ourselves. So today we have the second portion of the interview that we started on, dissecting Carnival 2024. So the good, the bad, and what can be improved for Carnival 2024. So I want to bring that to you. And just a reminder, you certainly want to follow Push Past 10 on Facebook and YouTube. Again, PUSHPAST10 on Facebook and YouTube, because we have some big interviews coming up for you. This weekend on Saturday, we are expecting to do an interview with a person out of Guadeloupe. His first name is Tony. I was introduced to him by my cousin Anthony Gussie. And if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because he's one of the legends of Kadas Lipso. And as soon as he found out what I was doing in terms of advancing advancing the lives of Dominicans and Caribbean people around the world. He quickly jumped on board, and he's been so supportive. That's Anthony Gussie. He has been so supportive. So what he has done, they're actually starting a film project in Dominica. So he wanted to ensure that I was the first to be able to interview the man behind this film project for Dominica. So I will be doing so on Saturday. And so we have a number of very powerful interviews coming up. So I just want to remind you to follow Push Past 10 on Facebook and YouTube so that you don't miss out on the information. And while we're here, we might as well remind you to also check us out at pushpast10.com, PUSHPAST10.com, because that is where we keep all the information as it relates to the program. So again, welcome to Untapped Potential. It is great to be here with you for another Power Pack Tuesday as we get the week off to a Power Pack Power Pack week. So again, thank you for being here. Let's enjoy this number from Morgan Heritage as we salute and we celebrate the life of Peter Morgan, who left us all too quickly. So let's enjoy this number from Morgan Heritage. I'll be down by the river, and then we're going to jump right into our interview, and then we will follow up towards the end of the program with our tip of the week. So enjoy this number from Morgan Heritage. Stay tuned.
Waiting for the good Lord to pass my way. Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle. Fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com. Or call 877-698-9894.
You know, the uproar was palpable with people saying you cannot compare Dominica to Trinidad because the population of Trinidad is so much larger than Dominica. But Thompson, Carlos, is there room for improving the compensation package that goes towards the monarchy, the person who wins the Calypso Grand Finals? What are your thoughts on that?
Simple answer, yes. And why I say yes is that we've not seen an increase over many, many, many years. So that speaks for itself. You know, certainly, and I agree with the caller, we cannot compare Trinidad in terms of the revenues that they generate in Trinidad, the revenues we generate in Dominica. But it has to be commensurate with the revenues that we generate locally. And the fact that we could afford to pay the king $20,000 3 years ago, we can afford to pay him double now, if only to keep up with inflation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Carlos, any thoughts?
Yeah, I share a similar view to that. I would like to add, though, that the product itself should be additionally developed, especially with all of the recommendations that come from after the event, and look towards pushing more towards attracting the other sponsors to come on board, so that can happen. Because if we look at just raising the money for the king, yes, you want the king to get more money. Yes, we want the king to get a new car. But how is he going to get it? So you have different companies selling vehicles in Dominica. Probably the Calypso Association can look to develop a partnership with one or some of them, be it on a yearly basis or a rotating basis, moving forward, so that the package would be more attractive and get even more persons to come on board and even raise the competitiveness of the product. Somebody, people, hey, I'm winning $100,000 EC, and I'm getting a brand new pickup. You know, those songs going to pick up steam. So that is something that can be the dice have to watch his back.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I think for the women pageant, I wanted them to get a car, if my memory serves me right?
Yes, I believe so.
And then they switched to giving them a scholarship.
Scholarship. So
significantly higher prices in terms of value being given to the beauty pageants.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah, back to the comments. Arthur, Annette Phillips says, yeah, the women were amazing, and it was great to see three women in the finals. Let's see, somebody we haven't taken. Back to Thaddeus James. To offset costs, we need to be strategic with pre-ticket sale online and digital tickets 4 months prior to the date of the show, and special early bird prices that would induce significant capital pre-planning and quality control. Credit is king. Also, we can look at a ticket layaway plan of two payments. The price can stay. We need to reduce the impact of the cost in the minds of the public. Thank you so much,
Tad Tinabel, the judges need some form of training in timely scoring. And then Tad says, no, each score sheet should be deposited in a database after every competition. So let's scroll down. Lauren Del Sol, Tasha did not belong in the top four. So Lauren's sharing her opinion on that. Tina Bell, I recall some time in the 1980s, our Calypsonian NC had a song. And later that year, a Calypsonian in St. Vincent, wow, used the same tune. I think he was crowned king. Copyright, copyright. Thank you for that, Tina. Chiquito Thomas, good program. My people, thank you. Claralyn Warrington, good night to you guys. Nice to see you, Claralyn. Simone James, by the way, Simone Marshall won the 800,000K, yes, but the competition is only one song. Interesting. Whereas in Dominica, the Calypsonians write two songs, which is more work. So they really should be compensated more in that case, right? Paul Patterson says, while this discussion addresses many issues, we must address the issue of a limited population. Our people either aren't employed or underemployed. You cannot divorce the economy from the debate. David Joseph, the price money for the monarch should be increased by $5,000 or $10,000. The government of the other, on the other hand, needs to forgo the VAT that the DCA have to pay to them. That would make it easier for an increase for the monarch. And you know, a lot of these comments are great comments. Thank you so much, guys, for your contribution to the program. But I wanted to go back to the point of the finals being one song, because is that something we've seen on the other islands? Is that the direction we should move towards in Dominica?
That's an interesting one. I like the format. I like the format now with 10 artists and two songs. So if you're going to have one song, then you can potentially have 20 people in the finals. I don't know. Whittling it down to, because at the end of the day, the two songs, it forces the creativity, because you know that you have to come good on both songs if you hope to make a dent in the crowd. You have to, both songs have to be good. You cannot have a really good song and a not so good song, you know? So in a way, it speaks to ensuring that you have that intensity. And also in terms of the styles of the sounds, you know, in terms of people allow now to really experiment, probably with an up-tempo beat in the second round, something more slowed down, more reflective in the first round. So I like the two sound scenario and the way it's currently done. If not, you can have, in one night we had 64 Calypsonians sing, right? So you can say ostensibly you can have one big final, if it's one song, have 64 people and judge them, and there's have a king out of the 64. You know, but I think the two round series to me is probably the way to go.
Carlos?
Yeah, I agree with that as well. It also gives the opportunity for the Calypsonians to, one, maintain the contemporary calypsos, and two, bring in the more upbeat one, as Dr. Thompson was saying, which a lot of them is married to our Boyo product. So it gets that chance to push that product as well. Increase the creativity of our artists. So I wouldn't cut it down. While I agree with the comparison of the more work for the competitors as compared to the earned prize money at the end of it, because everybody who competes receives money, whether you place or you don't place. But the to compare it to Trinidad, you have to compare the economies of scale for one, and two, you also have to compare the work. It needs to be a balance, so to speak. Let the Calypso Association do their work and allow the private sector to come on board, and not just the private sector, the government, come on board and assist the DCA to increase the value of the product.
You know, and Simon, also in terms of the controversies as well, you know, moving, you know, slightly away from the Calypso, another huge controversy that we had, well, you know, more or less interesting talking points that we had, that was around the Juve activities and how Juve should be enacted. I just happened to have been close to Whitchurch at around, probably around 6 o'clock, Juve morning. And then I was just about to purchase something, and I heard this step, the very loud, you know, like knock step, like down, down, down. And I spun around and I saw this most unusual sight, about probably 8 or 10 persons dressed completely in black outfits, face mask, you know, face mask, and singing a very unusual song. I think it was some religious song that was being played in the jukebox. And I took this video, the video that you've seen all around, is I took it because, and the streets were completely deserted. But the first thing that came to mind was, this is cinematic, this is theater, you know, because this guy was, he was walking very deliberately and his shoes was echoing because there were practically nobody around. Right, and if you see the video, it is deserted, and these people are emerging, coming up, and they have a coffin, and on the coffin it is written, well, a coffin, a replica, a very small replica, that says Rome, you know, and then they're talking about, you know, so much happened, and there was this guy with this big poster saying so much has happened in 2023. We've lost loved ones, you know, trees died, so many people died, and so on. Let's say goodbye to 2023, and let's look forward to 2024. So I took that because it was, and then when I looked at the video, I was like, man, this is going to go viral. This is so good in terms of the theoretical content. It's unusual to see, because usually in Juve, people are jumping, they're jovial. This was samba, and this was black outfits and people masked up and so on. And immediately I posted it. People started complaining. Some said, you know, why are you promoting? This is evil. You know, you're promoting evil. You're promoting, you know, that's why Dominica is as it is. And you get all of these different, and I was like, whoa, you know, I did not see that. Certainly did not see evil. I saw cinema. I saw people in costumes. And that could be a scene from a movie, literally a scene from a movie. And the question I have then, in terms of the controversy, some people say that this has no part in our carnival. But I'm saying that to me, that is the whole idea of Juve, people being creative. And that was creativity taken to quite an interesting level. Mm-hmm. And an excellent, but an interesting level. And how is that different from somebody coming up with a fancy hairstyle or a fancy costume, a fancy dress, you know? I'm very curious to hear your views and others, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think it's symbolic of, you know, what a lot of Dominicans are experiencing in Dominica. Carlin Bullies on the Facebook Live, and she said, they said, rum die playing Amazing Grace. So it seems like we're becoming known for rum and siro in Dominica. So when the rum and siro has died, we have to start singing Amazing Grace, because we are truly destitute at this point, because we've already lost a lot of who we were, a lot of what Dominicans were known for in the current state that we are in Dominica. So now if the rum and siro dies, we have to indeed sing Amazing Grace. But thank you for that.
I don't think that was the context of what they were trying to bring, though. Because you have to remember, Carnival, rum is associated with Carnival celebrations. Persons drink a lot of rum. So people are saying, rum dead, they're going to kill Mr. Rum. It is Carnival time, they're going to kill him.
Right.
And they're playing the music to accompany it, to play the, to emphasize the point. Like Dr. Fountain was saying, it could be a scene of a movie. So it's something theatrical, you know? So it shows the creativity of our Dominican people.
Right.
And how do you compare that to persons, for example, who dress up as black devils? So are you going to say that we're devilish?
It's
something that was taken from the past, mm-hmm. and persons are just acting it in the present. Mm-hmm. But I don't think persons are worshiping the devil because they're doing that.
Yeah, and I think on social media, you just find that there are a bunch of people who naturally lean towards negative comments. I've come to realize that, and I take it for what it is, because I think what we saw, there's an opportunity to interpret it. It's creativity, and what comes with creativity is your prerogative to interpret it as you may. So I think that is what it should have been, rather than saying, you know, this is devilish, it has no place in Carnival. It's an opportunity for interpretation. But we still have some great comments coming in on the Facebook Live, so let's take a couple more before we continue. Colin Bully Roach says, the Calypso Association is suffering from brain drain. How can they increase the prices when they hardly have event outside of the Carnival season to generate income? When the Calypso Association starting to invest in official t-shirts, which have become popular now, having events during peak visited times like Independence, having events regionally and internationally. Anne-Marie Clark was key in starting Calypso shows in New York. What are they doing outside of the Carnival season? A very important question. Thank you, Colin, for that. Alex Power or Bruno is here. Hi, Alex. Thank you for being here. We should try and not judge the judges. It's okay to discuss their work, but openly dismissing the results is becoming an issue. And let's scroll down just a little bit. There was something more from Alex, who says TNT has a total different Calypso setup. The DCA is in control of the Calypso products in Dominica, and the government runs Calypso in TNT. We simply cannot compare the two. So thank you for that. And finally, he says there must be consultations before a winner is declared. If we allowed for blind scoring of the monarchy, unscrupulous actors could easily manipulate the results. The committee to judge must recap their work before declaring a winner. So some really great comments coming in. But yes. Guys, you have... Yes, go ahead.
I'm anxious to comment on this one, especially yes. with regards to the judges, because the important thing to note is that you have 10 judges. The highest score and the lowest score is thrown out. Okay, so you're always going to have the consensus around the judging. So anybody trying to unnecessarily influence the results, their scores are not even considered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for example, if 8 people on the panel score a 7 out of 15, and one person scores 15 out of 15, that score of 15 is not considered. What is considered is the 7 people or the 8 people who gave a score of 7. Okay? So the way it is done is the correct way to do it. So it removes that bias of any one person trying. And we have to believe that when the judges are chosen, that they give it their best effort. So I don't agree that you need to revisit, because the best judge is when you judge as you've seen it. You're not going to judge 2 songs later after you've heard 2 more songs. You're going to come back and say, well, you know, probably I did not give this person high enough because I've not heard this other one. You're looking at that performance. You judge that performance on the criteria before you. You close it up, you go to the next one. So there should not be an opportunity for you to come back and change, because that's what some judges would try to do. They would try to come back and change. In fact, when I happened to judge, I was a judge one time in the beauty pageant a few years ago, and I was made the head judge, and that's exactly what I instituted. I said, you're going to give me your scores. I want everybody's scores at the end of each contestant on the stage. Look at the performance, judge them fairly, and give me that score. This score is not going to change. That is the score it's going to be. That's how you see it. I don't want to come back and say two contestants don't really say, oh, but by the way, contestant number three was probably better than the five I gave her, and I probably should have given her six. No. I think we, in terms of the judging, that is how it should be done. I think that's the best way to remove any bias that you have. Because when you're looking at it in real time, that is certainly the way to go.
So, Dr. Fountain, you'd be leaning towards my idea of doing it digitally?
Absolutely. In fact, that's what I did. I did a small Excel program.
So vote and lock it in.
And they just put it in and it tabulated right away. So we had those calls. So we were able to get those calls a couple of minutes after. Mm-hmm. We just agreed. I just agreed. Okay, everybody. Okay, that's the person that we said is the winner. And yeah, that's it. All of us agreed based on the way it was scored. So, and that I think should be done. That practice should be there. So I do not agree that they should come back and confer and try to redo scores and change scores and so on. Mm-hmm. I think that is where the bias comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we started talking about new energy into the Calypso and Carnival in general. And I think what we saw as well this year is the power of the youth, because I was certainly impressed with the Booyah Monarch for the junior Booyah Monarch. I think I wrote her name down, Moxie Shirley. She did an awesome job. We had others like the Hitmaker with the Country Brooks. We also had the Booyah.
I said that show shows that there's a lot of
potential
coming. But Simon, I can remember years ago when Shelley was
the professor.
Yes, when the professor was winning year after year after year, and I said this guy is going to do well in the future. Mm-hmm. Look at him now.
Yes.
Look at him now. So mm-hmm. I would just like to tell these young people, like Moxie Shivi and the Hitmaker, mm-hmm. and Mighty T. Stick to it. Don't stray away and listen to good advice from those who have walked the road before you, and try and implement the new energies, the new stuff. Because when you look at Shelley and his contribution towards the Carnival product, you look at Signal Band and their Fantasy Tribe, their Lumination product, that is significant. You know, the persons who were taking part in a lot of those activities were not largely foreign, and that goes back to what Thaddeus was saying earlier on, that the Calypso Association need to look at doing more stuff online. So Signal Band launched their stuff. They promoted their stuff with a nice website, nice photography, nice videography as well, properly presented. So when persons looking at it from someone, they have no connection to Nonmika, this shows up in their feed. This thing looks like something that is comparable to other countries' carnival, and it looks like something that is of a high standard. Mm-hmm. And when you come down and you take part in their product, you see that they're doing all the things necessary to cater to their customers. I mean, yes, you will find hiccups here and there, and that is natural. But largely, you see the fact that Shelley is and Angelani, who are the guys pushing the Signal Band, you can see that these guys are trained and implementing what they have learned in their studies in the product that they're doing. So no longer you can look at a musician as someone who doesn't do well for himself academically. You're seeing these guys are implementing the academics in their music business, and they're taking it on as a business. So kudos to them. And also, let's give a shout out to the other persons who put on costume bands as well. I recognize the stuff done by Pulse. I see this was very well attended. And I saw the one that Dr. Fountain was in as well. Looked like you guys had some fun.
Right, right. And you know, while we're congratulating all the success of the Carnival 2024, let's not forget to also congratulate the new Miss Dominica Kiana Dyer. I believe the name was. And you know, I don't have a lot to say about the Carnival Queen Show. And if anybody wants to post a comment on Facebook, that's fine. Because I simply didn't watch it because I thought 40 US for Carnival Queen Show was simply too much. So that is 106 EC. And on the ground for the ticket, the VIP ticket was $100. So why are we being asked to pay 106 EC, 40 US for the Carnival?
So how much was it in the US? $40, 45?
40 US. And last year it was 30 US. So I said, no, there's no way that I'm going to pay 40 US to watch Carnival Queen Show. But I still wanted to congratulate Kiana Dyer for becoming
very splendid on the Bois Bois. That's a very nice stuff to incorporate in the production, and it comes back to a lot of the things that we've been talking about earlier, and the youth bringing in the energies into these productions. We can also look at you speaking with online. Something that I noticed, for example, with the Calypso show, say the Queen show, there are all these companies who are allowed to come in, and everybody has a camera, and everybody is doing their own streaming for the pay-per-view, which is good, by the way. But probably what can be done to make it better for both the patrons and the persons who are viewing online is, for example, the Calypso Association put on the finals, and DFC put on the Queen Show. Probably they can look at contracting one company to do the videography for the show, and provide links to the different persons who you want to do the pay-per-view. So you whether using DBS or ComCTV or the what's your one of Chad?
Movisual, Vibian.
You want to use any one of those to do the live stream, mm-hmm. or Kyrie, any one of them. You'll have your link provided to them, give them the stream key, and allow them to sell it, because each of them have their fan base, and obviously you want to maximize the potential. So now you cut down the amount of work people you have doing work in the venue. You have more space for everybody to work. Persons are not working in front of each other. Your patrons can see more.
You get a more quality product. The quality product is good across the platforms.
Because and also, everybody sees the same thing.
Same thing, yes.
Everybody sees the same thing. Because if you look at the international shows, if you look at the big shows that are done all overseas, it's one company doing the production. And different companies, CNN will get a copy of that feed. If you look at the swearing in of the president, for example, everybody gets a copy of that feed, and they add the augmented for their audience.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have to put your commentary over it, or your logos, or whatever it is, but it makes the product better.
You see, I will tell you as well, Carlos. In addition to that, there were lots of complaints from persons who bought pay-per-view and then the stream broke down. You would also take care of that, because the person that has this or just the link does not have to be in the stadium. They can be home.
DFC don't have to wait to get the money from these companies and their reports and whatever. They don't have to do that. They can manage it themselves and just share that the link with the persons who they want to.
The quality of the product, not only the quality, but the connection is a lot better because now they can hook in directly into a more secure connection, not only secure, but a better bandwidth, because that's what the problem is. You don't have enough bandwidth when everybody's using whatever is available at the time. So, for example, I was in town yesterday trying to film and to do some live feed, and I was crashing every couple of minutes because
there were so many other people doing the same thing.
I just left the town and I went up by the stadium, and I could live stream forever. Mm-hmm. Was just not considered. So the same thing happens if you have a lot of people trying to use data from the stadium at the same time. It reduces the quality of the viewing, and people will complain. So the way you take care of that is what happens. I'm one person who's set up, who have the connection in the stadium, and the other providers, they stay in their own places.
Yep.
And they just use the link and they send it out and broadcast it, and everybody get a good quality stream. It does not break down, and you have a better quality product, and people less complaints from people. Because the most frustrating thing is that, Simon, you pay the $45 and then it starts to buffer.
And there's nobody to call.
Nobody answers.
Nobody to call.
Nobody's in the park.
Because nobody can help you, because the buffering is a function of the connection that they have. Mm-hmm. And if they're using the connection from the stadium that is already overstretched, you're going to have problems, you know.
But all great suggestion, guys. But we have to talk about the 2 days of Carnival before we wind down for this evening. And I think that is where we saw the greatest challenges to our tradition. So again, we're trying to look at how can we evolve and advance the Carnival product, but yet maintain our traditions. And one of the areas we saw is the music for the 2 days of Carnival 2024, Monday and Tuesday, in terms of, you know, we barely heard Carnival Calypso being played. I think somebody mentioned to me on Facebook, All Time Sick was the band that played most of the Calypso. And yet we saw the Nasty Business continuing to be played. And I think what was even more frustrating is to find out that Nasty Business was even played during Kitty's Carnival. So that is absolutely a source of frustration, because it just seems like we do not have a handle on this Nasty Business song or music. I even hear now that there's a new song and it's saying blatantly, I want to F you. Right? And it keeps repeating it. It keeps repeating it. So where do we draw the line? What can we do to finally get a handle on this Nasty Business music that is in Dominica, to the point where we are not limiting the creativities of the performers, the producers, but we're saying that there's a certain place and a certain time for this type of music? I mean, just the thought of hearing that this type of music was played during Kitty's Carnival. I mean, where do we draw the line? What are your thoughts on that? And then, of course, we want to talk about the costumes quickly before we run out of time.
Those kind of things need to be regulated. It needs to be regulated. And I believe the organizers are fully aware of who does what. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of putting everything in its rightful place. If for the Kiddies Carnival, for example, they used a DJ. That DJ is supposed to know who he's playing for. I'm not saying that he should be playing Jim Reeves, but at the same time, you cannot be playing certain music for that audience. You're not in a jam, so to speak, in a paid venue, in a closed space, dealing with adults. You're dealing with children. You have to know everything has a rightful place for it. Now, the Nasty Business music, that's a big topic that we have to look at overall. Mm-hmm. You cannot just shut them down.
No.
You cannot do that. Because you have to look at, for example, the WCKs and the triple Ks, the signal bands. They all produce, and I'm talking about way back when. Mm-hmm. They still produce nice music for people. And when you give them the nice music, you look at the views online, and you give them the controversial song. The controversial song is what they pick up and run with. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about in the age where people don't sell CDs anymore. It depends on clicks. So the persons will look to see how many views, how many eyeballs they can get, how many ears they can get to listen to their songs so that they can make their money, so they can get calls to go on the tours. So I wouldn't knock them with their music, but it's not my cup of tea, but it is something that we have to regulate it, but we have to know. Everything has its time and its place. You can't play that for you can. It shouldn't be on the road.
Mm-hmm. And certainly not at Kiddies Carnival. Yes, Thompson.
You know, this is very disheartening. This is very disheartening. As Carlos said, I mean, I have nothing against the artists, the Ridge and the others that play those kind of music, but you must have controls. Mm-hmm. You cannot be exposing our young people to these vile lyrics. You know, you cannot be playing those on the radio. You can't be playing those in public places. If you're in a private jam, in the confines of an adult type of entertainment, fine. But this should not find its way. You shouldn't have little children repeating. And you have little kids doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You have kids, 6, 7-year-olds, repeating those lyrics to other children in their classrooms. Mm-hmm. Because they're hearing it so often, all the time. You know, we are polluting the minds of our young people, and we have to be very careful about what we're doing to our young people. And the fact that nobody is taking notice, that no one seems prepared to say, hey, we need to put an end to this. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a chance to observe both the Signal Band and Triple K. Signal Band, they were playing, they were nice and cool. And mm-hmm. thing and so on, and then I just took a quick hop in Triple K, and it was just just a different type of hype and atmosphere, and I'm like, you know, you can see the difference. So it does have an impact on our young people, and the fact that we're exposing our young girls in particular, our young boys to this, it is not good for society. You know, we talk about Jamaica, for example, and dancehall. The Jamaican, they do their things, but you will not hear those sounds on radio. You will have to go to a club as an adult, where you have to be above the age of 18 to enter, to listen to this or to hear this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is everywhere. It is playing everywhere. We have it is blasting out the doors of shops.
I heard it on the buses.
It is absurd. Mm-hmm. We need to control this. Mm-hmm. These have an impact on the morality of our children. Mm-hmm. And we have to be concerned about this. We owe it to our children. We owe it to them to preserve them. Mm-hmm. Until such time that they can think for themselves and they have the clarity of thought. You don't impose those things. Imagine a young child telling a 6-year-old exactly what you just said earlier. I mean, that is inappropriate, but the child does not know. Mm-hmm. As far as the child is concerned, this is normal. He's hearing it all around him. So he can say it to his, you know, or she can say it to her 6-year-old classmate. Mm-hmm. It is completely absurd. And too much of that was on the road, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I heard it in the Amnesia Band last night. And I was like, what is going on? You know, where is the Calypso? Calypso is completely squeezed out the window, and Calypso should be front and center of our carnival activities. It mm-hmm. really has to be. You know, what we have for the most part is just I call it a mobile block party. That's what it is. It's not carnival at some point. It becomes a mobile block party. When what we should be having is the Calypso, thing. And then talking about the whole 2 days as well, the Juve I was out there at four o'clock. The bands did not start coming until 6:30. Because why? Most of the people were in the stadium, you know, with the Wi-Fi and the lapel cabling and so on. There was very little of that, you know, whereas we're supposed to be promoting the traditional aspect of the carnival at this time, which is the lapel carpet bands and so on, the boa boa, you know, and those types of activities that should be promoted, you know. So we have to take care of the product. We have to nurture the product. We have to have a better product. And I tell you, this last, I don't like to see the term.
I know.
It's the business type of music. Whilst I'm not bashing it, but I'm saying that we have to be respectful of our children and not be playing that everywhere, not be corrupting the minds of our young people.
Yeah, and the thing about it is having the Jue band start at 6:30, that means that nobody showed up for the 11 o'clock traditional mass costume parade.
Yeah,
because I looked at it and it was empty.
You saw
the people because... in the senseis and the costumes, but when you looked on the sidewalks for the people looking at the parade, there was no one because the Juve started at 6:30. By 10 o'clock, people are tired. They're not going to make it to the 11 o'clock parade of the traditional Mass of Dominica. So we have a lot of work to do. But before I come to you, Carlos, let us just talk about the costumes as well. So let's throw that into the conversation because I got one WhatsApp message and this is what it said. Traditional carnival outfits were out the window, replaced by skimpy Trinidad and Rio outfits instead. So that was one of the views that were shared with me via WhatsApp. But I have to give some credit. I believe one of the bands, I'm not sure which one of it, but you could tell there was a concerted effort made to have costumes that were a little bit more conservative, a little bit more covered. But there were still the other bands where you saw the feathers and strings. That's what we're calling it these days. The costume is pretty much feathers and strings. And not everybody can fit into feathers and strings. So
not everybody should fit into feathers and strings.
So just your thoughts, Carlos, as I come to you concerning the music, the costumes, what we saw in terms of Carnival Monday and Tuesday before we wind down the program.
Like we were talking about the music, all those things have their people. So I wouldn't cry down persons who choose to spend their money, significant sums sometimes, to wear their feathers and strings. However, I would also like to see more encouragement to the traditional forms. For example, in St. Joseph, are you aware that there's a Sensei house?
Nope.
There's a Sensei house, and that is the area that guys go to dress and put on their Sensei. And sometimes, and it's amazing, you know, I was down there sometime. St. Joe, you see persons coming on the road with their Sensei, sometimes all Independence time, you know. A Grand Mace also alive and well. So probably we need to look at getting, and the younger persons are involved in that. Look at getting the traditions more, get more involvement so it could come into the city. So not that you want to take the guys who are reveling in the country areas away from their areas, but to find a way to influence it into the city culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And also, let us talk. Yeah, go ahead, Thompson.
Yes, but I want to make a quick comment. You know, I personally saw more feathers than strings. but I must tell you that the... I liked the costumes in the sense that I thought they were very creative. A lot of creativity went into it. The vibrancy, the color. To me, that's what the idea of carnival is about, is the color, the exuberance. And I saw that in some of the costumes. And probably more effort could be made to make it a bit more, child friendly. But certainly, in terms of the overall costumes, I like the creativity that went into it. And I think it's something that we can continue to develop and make better as the years go by. But really, you know, the Bwa section was just beautiful to look at, you know, to see all of these different, even the very small children on their Bwa, you know, and that was a beautiful sight. That was one of the most striking part to me, in addition to the feathers, of course, but that was certainly a really beautiful part to watch, you know.
One thing that was a striking complaint from persons was the fact that there's a lot of spaces in between the bands, and so now there's a lot of empty voids on the road. Now when you have persons doing live streams and so on of the product, and people overseas looking at that, it doesn't look good. Possibly what can be looked at, I think, rest his soul, this is Alwyn, DJ Bullet of Club DVD. When I remember a couple years ago, they did a remote truck. So the band will be playing on Kennedy Avenue and on the David Junior Charles Boulevard, there's another truck with an entire full system set up, but no band there. With basically hi-fi, but the live music of the band.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK, and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
To a portion, the second half of the interview that we did on the importance of dissecting Carnival 2024, because I say it all the time, if we do not track things, we will not be able to improve on them. So it is so important to keep track of what went well and what did not go so well, so that we are able to improve the Carnival product. So moving along in the program, we have the tip of the week. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, we'll be reading from Push Past 10, which is, 57 pages long, not a very long book at all. Just a tool to help you to stay on track, help you to remain consistent with your life goals. And today I want us to look at the importance of embracing failure. Yes, that is something, part of the equation that so many of us miss, because we see failure as a stop sign. Right? We see failure, we're doing something, trying to improve our health. It doesn't work for 2 weeks. We get on the scale, we've lost no weight, and we simply quit the effort. And by the way, I did last week, what day was that? I believe it might have been Wednesday or Thursday. I did a Facebook Live on just this topic. And I also showed a couple of simple exercise moves that you can already start, because let us face it, by now, this is what, the end of February, we know that many people have fallen off the wagon when it comes to the goal they set to lose weight. So I want us to keep each other accountable. So I'm going to start doing a couple of videos on Facebook and YouTube Live, where we are able to demonstrate some exercises. We're able to talk about our meal prep. We're able to talk about the importance of movement. So we're not going to keep the term exercise, because I get the sense that people here will exercise and they freeze up, they break into hives. So let us try to use different words, so that the word exercise doesn't seem so daunting. So last week I did a program and we talked about three M's. We talked about our mindset, We talked about the importance of movement, and we talked about the importance of meal prepping. So I'm going to continue this series on Facebook and YouTube Live, and I may even bring some of the information here on Untapped Potential, because I think it is so important for us to finally get a handle on our health, on our fitness, on our well-being. So that is going to be my focus for a couple of weeks moving forward, in terms of helping our community to become healthier and stronger. And speaking of which, I'm also looking to pass this message along. So if you know of any nursing groups, if you know of any community groups, if you know of any healthcare groups, those are the groups I'm going to try to target in terms of getting the word out. And of course, additional media exposure never helps. So if you know anyone who is in radio, television, podcasting, I would love to be a part of their program as we continue to share this all important message, because we are seeing how NCDs, non-communicable diseases, are ravaging Dominica and the Caribbean. And many of these diseases can be prevented or reversed simply by lifestyle choices. So I'm very passionate about this topic. I'm very passionate about helping our people to get back on track and to remain healthy. So let's look at chapter 4 of Pushpads 10, the importance of embracing failure. And it begins by saying, if you are a social media user, I am sure that you have seen the videos of 80, 70, and 90-year-olds doing amazing feats of exercise, from running marathons and endless push-ups. It might make us wonder, what is wrong with us at 40 and 50? What if I told you that you are not like these people of advanced age because you told yourself a long time ago that that was not who you are? You see, the interesting thing about growing old is that we begin to believe the limitations we set on our lives. The best I have heard is that we get to a certain age and we begin to tell others what we should no longer be able to do. By 30, we tell ourselves, I am too old to run like that. By 40, I am too old to lift this weight. So what does life look like at 50? Sedentary and failing health, all because we told ourselves that we are too old. We told ourselves we cannot get fit because we are over 40. This creates a self-fulfilling prophecy, because we stop putting in the effort because it would be futile to do so. Those of advanced age who can perform the great feats of strength described above do not think about their age in the same way, and neither do I. Instead, they think of getting mentally and physically stronger one day at a time. Your age is a liar, and the sooner you learn to release the bond you think it has on you, the sooner you will begin to enjoy the lifestyle you deserve. So that is just the first page of chapter 4, Embrace Failure, and you will want to read that chapter in more detail. So I'm only giving you a snippet of chapter 4, because I think that that is where we ought to focus a lot on. Because if we do not embrace failure, and that is why the book is Push Past 10, From Failing 1,000 Times to Achieving My Fitness Goals. And that can apply for just about any goal. So not just fitness goal, but any goal that you may have in mind. And on the Facebook YouTube Live that I did, we talked about, when you were a student and you failed a class, or you did not do particularly well in an assignment, that you did not quit. You simply reorganized yourself, found a different strategy until you were successful. So the same applies to our health and fitness in terms of not giving up. So we have a lot of information to unpack in the next couple of weeks, and I certainly hope that you will remain with us. You will join us every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, or if you missed the live episode, you can jump on pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com, and you can click on the podcast where we have all the episodes of Untapped Potential waiting for you. So again, it was great to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. I look forward to being in your company next week at the same time, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday, so we can continue to get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we can continue to remind ourselves, how are we remaining consistent with those life goals? So until then, I want you to remember that your life story is your strength. Remember to tap into your potential every day. Remember to stay strong, stay positive, stay active, and stay engaged. Until we meet again next week at the same time, you have yourself a wonderful day.